Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima coming to you from the home office in Austin, Texas. It is Oscar Monday.
We watched the Oscars on a plane leaving Los Angeles. Yeah. We were in LA to surprise a friend, our wonderful friend, for her birthday, and had a great time, caught up with friends in Los Angeles for a couple of days, and then flew back. But hey, thanks to American Airlines for the live TV, I really enjoyed watching the Oscars on the airplane. Unlike when I was on the airplane for the Super Bowl, not everybody, in fact, I saw nobody else watching it. Like when I was in an airport for the Super Bowl, it's on TVs at the restaurants, people are crowding around watching.
Right.
That was not happening for the Oscars. As a lover of pop culture, I wish that it was.
I made mention as we were at the gate, we were about to get on, and it was, this is minutes before the Oscars was about to start. And what I noticed, and there were some people that we had brushed into in LA were in the industry. So there was some mention of it, but overall, I would say very little buzz, very little attention, very little care in the world for the Oscars. And there just isn't any buzz. And we were in Los Angeles. So, you know, you would
think. I hope the ratings are better. I want it to be good. First of all, again, we should talk about, it's a good show. We're going to talk about our favorite moments. Yeah. I really thought the Oscars were good. But I did think about, like, I remember reading the statistic that like 20 years ago, the Oscars, I'm not going to get these numbers right.
Right.
But it was something at like twice the viewership it's at now. And then the Super Bowl was like way less. Like last year was the biggest, this past one was the biggest Super Bowl ever, right?
Yes. It was 122 million.
And it was like the biggest all thing, everyone watching it since the moon landing or something crazy. Right. So sports has only gone up. The Oscars has gone down. And I do think people are crying out for a unified experience, and the Oscars could be that. The problem is they don't they've spent years not spotlighting the movies that the audiences are going to see. Like, I did see a statistic yesterday. So last night, if you missed the Oscars, spoiler alert, the best picture winner was Oppenheimer. And I saw a note, a fact, that the Oppenheimer is the first major box office, like big box office movie to win Best Picture since Lord of the Rings, Return of the King 20 years ago. It is the first movie since The King's Speech, which was an independent film back in 2011, I believe, that has made over $400 million at the box office. Mm-hmm. So long story short, this is the first time in 20 years the Academy has awarded a movie that its audience all went to see with the Best Picture Award. So you're not giving people the content that they're engaging in. And I think that's a huge part of the problem.
When we look back, and you and I listen to podcasts all the time, rewatchables or whatever, and you talk about these crazy years when there were movies going against each other.
Right. Like 1994 is this famously incredible year for movies. It was like Forrest Gump and Good Will Hunting, like, or maybe Shawshank. There were all these amazing movies all in one year.
Right. And you're talking about these movies and you're like, how did they choose? And best actor. And it was the greatest actors of all time going against each other. It's like, how did they choose? That's what we all tuned in for, is we saw these great movies that we loved all year. We talked about them all year, and then they were celebrated. Now, again, different time. We actually had to go to the theater, or you had to rent them from Blockbuster. So, you know, the access.
No, but imagine if over the past 10 years, superhero movies, which largely were very good. Yeah. I mean, I loved all the Iron Man movies and all that. What if they'd been giving them Oscars?
Right. Robert Downey Jr. won last night. He easily could have won for Iron Man 1 or 2.
He's incredible in those movies.
He's incredible in those movies. Fantastic. Now, again, those have declined and they've gotten bad, but for a while they were everything and they were
blowing out the box office. Yeah. Like, luckily this past year we had a return to people going to the movies with Barbie and with Oppenheimer. Awesome. Because to me, I'm happy to watch something at home, but I like going to the movies. It's a date night.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Jon Favreau couldn't have won as supporting actors and actresses in those movies for Pepper Potts and for being, I mean, they were great.
It was the Academy's mistake.
That is a huge, huge, when all those, the Academy and the executives go, they're scratching their heads year after year. What are we doing wrong? Maybe it's them. It's always them, right? It's, people don't get us. And they dive deeper and deeper into these films that nobody sees. That is not to negate or crap on independent filmmaking, small filmmaking. It is wonderful. It is an art. And those people need to be shown as well, but not at the Oscars. The Oscars is a stage. The Oscars isn't for technically, it isn't for the industry. It's to promote the film industry. That's really what it's for. Mm-hmm. It's to blow this film industry up and to show
a big bright light
on what everybody's doing.
It's really this simple. Why put it on TV? If it's not going to be for the people at home who are 99% of them are not in Los Angeles in this industry, why put it on TV then? Just do your own little awards show, which I think is how it started. But if you're going to put it on TV and you want people to watch, to me, it's actually rude to the audience at home to not nominate and let win the movies that they're loving to watch. Then why would they care? And guess what? They haven't cared.
So,
but this year was a return back to that. And I hope it gets better from here.
If there was a course correction at 100%, I'd say they course corrected 60%.
Barbie should have won some stuff.
Barbie should have been nominated.
Greta Gerwig should have been nominated.
Barbie should have been nominated for some stuff. We'll get to Jimmy Kimmel, but one of the, I guess, few things that Jimmy Kimmel actually was good and dead on last night was when he mentioned Barbie off the top and Greta Gerwig, and everybody was applauding. And he said, no, you guys are responsible for this. Don't applaud like you're standing for Greta Gerwig when you didn't nominate her. And that was actually funny that Jimmy Kimmel hit. We'll get to Jimmy in a little bit. But the fact that the Barbenheimer movement was everything this year in the movies, and Oppenheimer was so celebrated last night, definitely deservedly so, but Barbie largely was not, other than like song and some other things they were nominated for. And I know Gosling performed, we'll talk about that, but overall a pretty big miss.
Well,
It was a layup. It's just a layup.
Right. Well, first of all, again, should have been nominated for Best Director. Margot Robbie should have been nominated and she wasn't. And then it didn't even really win in categories I thought it would, like set and costume. Poor Things beat it. Poor Things with Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo won more than I thought it was going to. And I think that's the voting of the Academy is kind of leaning towards that artsier, you know, more different movie. And I haven't seen Poor Things. I've heard it's great. I'm sure it is. And you know what? I will say at least it has a really well-known star in it in Emma Stone. Yeah. Like audiences love Emma Stone.
Who won last night.
And her speech was super cute. A lot of people felt Lily Gladstone should have won. And I actually think you could see it on Emma Stone's face when she got announced that she was like, wait, I won.
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio had famously been campaigning for her so hard. He was not nominated and did not show up last night, but he had been campaigning for her. And a lot of people thought that would really help this, and Scorsese as well.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon. I've heard she's incredible in that. And would it have been
nice?
We
don't have time.
It is just a long movie.
Let's take the next
Jimmy
3 days and
Jimmy Kimmel made a joke about
it.
That last night. I liked that joke for Moon too. He kind of called everybody out and said, all of your movies are too long.
Right.
The average movie, I'll get it wrong, but he cited the average movie nominated was like 2 hours and 20 minutes long or something. Give me a tight 90.
Yeah.
What happened to the hour and 40 minute movie?
I loved Oppenheimer, truly loved Oppenheimer. The performances, the movie, the story, everything. It was too damn long. I mean, even that movie, man, there were so I could go in without even blinking. I could cut 45 minutes out of that film and it would still be too long.
Well, if you want people to go see movies in the theater, I've heard a lot of people say this, it is this basic, they shouldn't have to take a bathroom break. Like it should be 2 hours or less if they have to go pee and miss the movie.
I just remember going to see Gandhi when there was, you know, you had the intermission. I was like, what is happening? Because that was such a rare thing back in the day to have a movie so long that there was an intermission. And that's, we're leaning into a Broadway play where there are intermissions where we got to take a break. But overall, as we get into the show,
well, let's talk.
When I say the course correction, they did a better job because the show seemed more modern. We didn't have the voice of God kind of talking.
David Alan Greer was doing the voice, which I loved. We had some fun with it.
Very recognizable, but less voiceover work. Like it's 1974. The set seemed good. The graphics were tight. There were stars that we all recognize because again, there are movies that we actually watched this year. So it just felt fresh and it felt good. It felt like we were going to have a good time.
I would give it the review of this is the best Oscars I've seen in a couple years, in a while, really. I thought the stage was beautiful. The production was tight. There weren't big misses. It kept moving. There weren't any presenting moments where it was like, God, this is written so, like, really, this is the best thing we could write. Nothing painful like that. And I also realized in watching it, you know, it is hard, and I'll give awards shows this, which is a struggle. In the age of social media, this used to be the only place you could see these celebrities. It was on these awards shows and it was really special. In the age of social media, a lot of them have social media. But what you can get at these awards shows and what they leaned into a little last night, and I hope they lean into better in the future, is just really rare, cool moments of celebrities coming together and like watching Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito together last
Unbelievable.
Night.
Unbelievable.
They were so funny together. They were so naturally charismatic. And what took it to the next level, and I thought, okay, someone really thought this out a little better. At first, you thought it was going to be a twins reunion.
I was going to say the same thing.
And then they cut to Michael Keaton in the audience, and you realize they were playing off of the fact that they were both in Batman movies.
And they both got killed by and defeated Batman. By Batman, who was right there. It was genius.
It made it really fun. Putting Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling together, you know, listen, and people need a reason. Those two were together presenting or acknowledging the stunt community on stage because they're doing the movie The Fall Guy about a stuntman that comes out soon. But they were in Barbie and Oppenheimer. They had fun with that.
Like, they were funny.
They were funny.
Yeah. And like, I love Ryan kind of giving a shot at Oppenheimer, you know, about riding, you know, Barbie, taking, you know,
Barbie's
taking Oppenheimer
coattails.
For a ride. So it's just brilliant. It was really well done.
I thought those moments were great. I guess we're getting into highlights. I thought the John Cena moment of him coming out naked.
I agree. Like, I'm sorry.
I thought it was super funny.
Some people online are really bent out of shape about it, but come on. It was really no different than what he wears in wrestling. If he'd had a little singlet on, which is what they wear, their little briefs, it's the same. He had a card. I mean, it's not like you saw anything you weren't supposed to.
But again, here's where the
I thought it was funny.
And the writing took it to the next level. At first I thought, oh, he's just going to come out and streak. Yeah. And it wasn't going to be that funny. But the fact that he walks out and he says, he's doing the award for costume design. I'm like, that's perfect.
Costumes are important. Maybe the most important thing.
Yes.
And I'll give Kimmel credit here. Good bit. That was a good bit. He went back and had a little back and forth with
whoever
Cena.
Was writing last night. I kind of felt like, and I know like Jimmy Kimmel and his wife, Molly, I think it's McNierney. She actually was big in kind of the improv comedy scene when I was first starting in LA. And I think she wrote for his show and now she produces. So she produced the show last night. I don't know who they brought in, but the writers they had for last night, it was elevated. It was good.
It was different. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'll just say about Kimmel, you know, hosting that event is very hard. It's notoriously a very difficult thing. He's done it, 4 or 5 years, I think, in a row. And he didn't do bad. I'd say I give him a B minus. Some of his stuff off the top, the monologue, seemed tired. I've seen it before.
I actually just thought he seemed a little tired.
Yeah, he seemed like a little...
He'd just done this before. Like, there were a few times when he came out and he kept going, how are we doing? I know it's long. And I'm like, well, if you're... I don't know who else they could get to do the job because that job is so notoriously dangerous for your career. Like, think of when
first of all, who everybody wants now.
Give us John Mulaney.
Give us John Mulaney. Please.
He was so
next
fun.
Year, let him host the Oscars. Jimmy, I agree. And what is a turnoff for the millions that are watching, and there will be millions that are watches, don't come out and crap on the show you're hosting.
you immediately come out and say, hey guys, I know it shouldn't be, but this is going to be long. It's going to be boring. You're going to all suffer through this like I am. Let's just strap in. Like, what the, yes, it probably will be long. And yes, it, even though they started an hour early, they still went over their allotted time last night. But I don't, it's just, it's such a thing to come out and just tell everybody how your show is going to suck and then kind of go through and crap on some movies where Emma Stone, now, of course, you see on social media where she kind of called Kimmel a prick. It looks like
that's what people are saying. Yeah. She said the lip readers
for kind of, you know, crapping on her movie. And then you had John Mulaney come out and easily the best written comedic bit of the night that celebrated movies. And it was funny. That's what we miss. That's the Billy Crystal. That's the Steve Martin. Jimmy Kimmel, again, I'm not going to give him a failing grade. I'll give him a B minus because he moved the show along and he did have some highlights. But overall, I think we need a fresh start.
Well, I, as you're saying this, it's such good insight from you as someone who's hosted how many live 2-hour shows. I was just thinking, what if you came out and started after the final rose with, hey, everybody, I know this is long and it's going to be tough, but
this is a rough night.
Here we go.
You know, I'm contractually obligated to do this. So, you know, just bear with me, will you? And I'm like, what tone are you setting? This is the biggest night of the year. Millions of are watching around the world.
I think the problem is that statement he's making is to the people in the room. But first of all, the nominees are still excited. Like Robert Downey Jr. has been in this industry for 20 years. The ups and downs he's had, as he alluded to last night, the man at one point couldn't get a job, couldn't get insured. He was a drug addict. I'm not saying anything he hasn't said. And he's now winning an Oscar. Like, he is Hollywood's comeback story.
Yeah.
But for him, he's excited to be there. And like, it marks a real moment of he made it and he did it and he came back from the darkness. And so you're saying to the people in the room, this is going to be long, but you're saying to the people at home, go ahead and turn off your TV if you want. Right. Like, so I think if he'd cut out those comments overall, I thought, again, it was well-written. It moved well. I did laugh out loud a couple of times and that's not the case for every awards show. And you know, people looked great and like the packages were really nice. I really liked the, well, we'll get into that. But just sticking on Kimmel, I think that I remember him saying that he came back, I think, because of Barbie. And that's why he decided to do it again. And I can't imagine it's easy to get someone to do this. Like, I wonder if they've asked John Mulaney and he said no up until this point.
I bet not, because Kimmel's ABC.
Oh, yeah.
And whether he will admit it or not, it's a big gig for him. And you know, to be on that stage and to be that guy. But I think everybody's a little tired of him, and I think he's tired. And if he was being honest, he might say himself, if you interviewed him today, are you into this? Are you excited? Like, because it seemed like he was put out. I guess that's the best way.
When
he came out for the monologue, he really seemed put out. Like, I can't believe you guys are doing this and I got to be here. Instead of, I didn't feel the excitement. When John Mulaney came out, I was like, I'm in, man. Let that guy do 30 minutes. Let him cook. I am into his monologue. Let him go.
And then that presenting moment at the Oscars, I saw a lot of people tweeting and saying, well, he just nailed his audition for hosting the Oscars. Like, now he's done the Governor's Awards. They know he can do an awards show. And then he did the big stage and he was really funny and crushed it. And
that's my 2024 prediction.
Yeah, I think if he wants it, I think after last night, it's his.
I don't know if he wants it. We need him.
Yeah.
We need him. We need a fresh, and the Academy does too. It'll be huge to have a change.
And he's a little younger and like he is, and by that I just mean younger audiences know him, like our kids, they love his comedy.
You know,
like,
what I noticed?
College kids love his comedy. Mm-hmm.
The audience responded to him. And I don't mean us, the viewers. I mean the people in that theater, which are hardened and barely paying attention, because look, there's a lot going on. I'll tell you about, because I've been to the Oscars several times, so have you. And it is a long, arduous journey when you're in that audience, because it's really made for TV. So you can't hear a lot. But what I noticed when they panned out, people were laughing. People were into his comedy and he was killing the room.
What a lot of people say about these hosting gigs is you have to find the person who appeals to the audience at home and in the room.
Very rare.
Like, it's tough sometimes if you get, like, I know Joe Coy, I mean, he now infamously bombed at the Golden Globes this year. But what I heard some industry people say is, no one in the industry really like knows him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a stand-up comedian with an audience in America, but he's not like well known and hasn't like been in movies, and people don't know him as well in Hollywood, I guess.
Well, that's why Crystal and Steve Martin did so well for so long.
That's what I mean. They need to feel like if they're going to get roasted, it's at least a friendly face doing it, because there is going to be a little poking fun. So like, look, even Kimmel last night, he said something and seemingly Emma Stone didn't love the comment. But so I think people, John Mulaney might be striking that right note of known to audiences at this point, even if he isn't as famous as Jimmy Kimmel, but also known to the people in the room.
So I give Kimmel a B minus and I say, we're moving on. Fresh blood. What's your grade
for Kimmel?
Yeah.
I'll give Kimmel a B plus and I'll give the show overall an A minus.
I'm with you. Yeah. No, it was the most entertaining Oscars I've watched in quite some time, because again, I liked the addition of when they're announcing best actor, best actress and supporting actor categories, they brought up five formers. So we just were inundated with stars. We saw stars and there were a lot of big stars. You know, I know Margot Robbie wasn't nominated, but she's there. Greta Gerwig was there. Emma Stone and Al Pacino came out in the most bizarre fashion, but he got a standing ovation. And talk about an angry, cranky old man that gives zero F's in the world.
You know what? I'll push back. I don't think he's angry.
I thought it was an old man moment.
Okay, it was an old man moment, but he wasn't cranky. I have interviewed Al Pacino a couple times. He's very funny. He's very nice. I don't think he's cranky. I just think he's like, I agree about the, I don't give an F. He didn't even read the nominees.
He goes, out.
Okay, best picture. My eyes see Oppenheimer. And everybody's like, is that the winner?
Is that the winner? It was so bizarre. I mean,
okay.
this is the penultimate moment. And I think what we're going to have to do, much like maybe, you know, for many jobs that are very important, we should have some sort of cognitive test. You should be able to read three lines. The nominees are, the Oscar goes to, that's it. You have two sentences you need to say. He missed all of them. Out of the two sentences, he said none.
I don't think that's about an ability to read. I think he just didn't care to read them. I think he doesn't have enough time. He's like, I gotta go.
He just stumbled out on stage. This is what we've been watching 3.5 hours for. We get out there and he's like mumbling something. And he's like, literally, like,
honey, he has a newborn at home. He's
that's
tired.
The scariest part. To think that De Niro and Pacino sitting there with newborns.
Two good jokes from Kimmel. One, when Pacino came out, I think he said he got a sitter for the night. And two, and this was like a joke and also just a moment of perspective. I think he said, Jodie Foster and Robert De Niro are both here tonight. 40 years ago, they were nominated for Taxi Driver, and Jodie Foster was old enough, or was the age, to be Robert De Niro's daughter. Tonight, she's 20 years older than his girlfriend.
20 years too old to be his girlfriend.
20, yes.
And Jody was like, yep, that was a good burn.
Well, and I love, you just pointed out, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, is the power of these awards shows. They need to lean into bringing people together for special, unforgettable moments. People who wouldn't always be together. You might see them on their social media, but they wouldn't be with this other group. And that was great. With the bringing out the former winners to kind of give a special shout out to the current nominees in the acting categories. Like to see on stage, like Lupita Nyong'o with like Jamie Lee Curtis and with, you know, or to see like Sally Field along with like in Regina King.
Sally Field
King.
Looked great last night, by
the way.
Oh my
God,
Mary
with Jennifer
Steenburgen.
Lawrence.
It was great to see. Yeah, J-Lo. We haven't seen her in a while.
J-Lo, babe.
I know.
Yeah. These groups of women together, that was really cool. You're like, whoa, there's a lot of talent on this stage.
It was good to see. It was just good to see stars. What'd you think of the Ryan Gosling, Ken song?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I died that, you know what I loved about it? The breaking character. That was maybe my favorite part. He starts in the audience. Billie Eilish is barely holding it together. Margot Robbie isn't holding it together. She's laughing. And he was just not taking it too seriously and having fun with it. Like he knows he's on the one hand, he was playing it as seriously as he should have, like giving it his all.
Yeah.
But you could tell he was almost laughing.
I wish ABC executives hadn't overhyped it. I wish they had really been hanging their hat on this, because I think they realized they failed miserably by not giving Barbie its due this year. So they really I wish they had just said, you know, yes, he's performing, but I was expecting so much. They were teasing it
so hard. They kept saying, and next up, the performance you've been waiting for, yeah. Ryan Gosling as Ken.
So ABC, I think, did a massive injustice to that. But with that said, give Ryan Gosling so much credit he's not a singer. He's not a singer at all. Did he even sing in La La Land at all?
Oh, well, this was interesting because, he started in the Mickey Mouse Club, right? So he actually sang as a kid.
So did I, but we all go through puberty and that changes things.
And he said that being Ken kind of brought him back to those days, those like teenage performance days. But he infamously didn't perform when La La Land a couple years ago was nominated for Best Song. He sang in the movie, but he did not sing. I think John Legend sang City of Stars. Okay. At the Oscars.
Yeah, you're
right. And it was kind of like, wait, why isn't Gosling singing the song? So I sort of loved that he came back and really did sing it this year.
Okay, so to do that and to not be in a studio where you know you're going to have mixing and maybe a little help on your voice, this is live in front of millions, but also your peers. And he wasn't just singing. He then did this theatrical performance where, you know, the cowboy had to start and the whole thing where he was in character. I give him so much credit because that's not just, you know, a film performance. That is raw live TV. You are, in the words of John Cena, bearing it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're really going for it. So I give him a hell of a lot of credit because he went for it and he nailed it. I thought that was a great performance.
He was doing an ode to Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, the Marilyn Monroe pink dress scene. I thought that was
with all dudes and
that was just a great nod to movies past too. I thought it was great.
And I like at the end when he jumped back down in the audience and Greta Gerwig was singing, Emma Stone got up and sang.
Well, that was so smart of him to go give a nod to those women and to kind of shake hands with Emma, his La La Land co-star. I think he hit all the right notes of who to nod to. And you know what, everybody, I was seeing people, some of like our friends who are reporters who were in the room that night saying the whole theater was on its feet for that. Like he really, speaking of working the crowd, like the Hollywood people were up and singing with him and actually having fun. And I think you felt that at home. Like if I was going to nitpick, the only thing I would have done was thrown in a couple more like fun, silly cameos of some kind. Like he had Slash playing with him at the end, which I didn't see coming and didn't like totally understand, but great. But I kind of would have, I don't know exactly who it would have been. Maybe if you just picked another, like I would have liked it if maybe they cut to the audience and a few more other very like Ken-like stars, like a Chris Evans or something.
Right. They were all there.
Yeah. Like they'd done like a, like maybe they joined in just to like Krasinski's embrace their Ken-ness or something.
You had a bunch of big like,
that could have been funny, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper's there.
Them all Kens.
two things I noticed. One, it kind of takes you out of it a little bit. Immediately online, and this is the world we live in of social media, you have the behind the scenes, right? Like people are like, this is what John Cena was doing. This is how he got, you know.
Right, those same reporters I just mentioned. Yeah, they're posting
everybody's in the balcony posting behind the scenes videos, which kind of takes you out of it a little bit. Don't show me how the magician's doing the trick. I wish they would ban that, but you know, that's the world we live in where all these reporters are up there. Everyone's recording everything. And you know, there's reports today that Emma Stone was, you know, out with Florence Pugh at the bar and she missed a bunch of awards and people, it's like, people are digging at things. And you know, today Robert Downey Jr. didn't pay ode to who was presenting him the trophy and snubbed him. And it was just, stop. Like everybody's there trying to dig for stories and to try and stir stuff up when there's none of those things existed. None of those things are big deals.
I didn't think people were making the Emma Stone at the bar thing negative. Did you see that?
Written up. Yeah. I saw several articles written on it today and it's silly.
Cause there's this video of her feeling bad. She's like, oh wait, I'm missing it. I'm like, oh, she was just getting a drink.
Well, by the way, I've been to this award show. It is very long when you're sitting there. I know Jimmy Kimmel was making fun of it and he probably shouldn't have, but it is long. And in the middle, there is a long stretch of awards that you've never heard of. And so you go out to the bar and when you go to the bar, you should know, or the bathroom, they lock the doors. You cannot come back in. So if Emma Stone is out there and the show starts again, even Emma Stone is locked out. She can't just walk back in and try and make it back for that award. You have to wait for the entire next block to go, another commercial break, and then you can go back in.
You know,
so that happens.
I don't know if this is going to be controversial to say Hollywood doesn't like it when you start, but there are a few awards we could lose. This is no shade to these people. Best animated short? I don't even know where to see these. These aren't in theaters. No one watching at home like really knows, like has heard of or even can, like how would you see, I mean, you'd have to find it the best animated short. Where do I get that?
Let's look at the Emmys.
Or best documentary short. I'll say that too.
Best, even best documentary. Like it's, here's the thing. Here's the
well,
thing.
I love a documentary.
Here's the thing. And I do too. But the Oscars, the telecast is to please the masses. Look at what you're trying to do. So stop trying to please industry insiders by having them on your telecast. The Emmys are a good point of this. There's some great awards that are handed out at the Creative Arts Emmys. They're the night before, they hand out a ton of Emmys. I'm not saying don't celebrate these people, don't decorate them and tell them how great they are. Do we need to see it over 3.5 hours? You could lose 5 awards and tighten that thing up and make it a great award show.
I just think know your audience, and these people can't even find this content. So
give them Oscars. I'm not saying don't celebrate them, just do it the night before. If you guys are so impressed with each other and yourselves, that's fine.
I mean, last night there was a little bit where, like we said, Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling kind of gave a nod to the stunt community.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? That's an award I would actually rather see is best stunt Oscar. Yeah. Think about Tom Cruise jumping off the cliff.
I think Tom Cruise would have won it.
Right. With the motorcycle this year in Mission Impossible. Like, you know, there's an incredible stunt work, and people at home actually see that in movies and theaters.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase, so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Last thing I want a question for you. Has something changed in that award season has gotten so arduous and so long, and maybe so much social media or something? A lot of people seem tired last night.
Christopher Nolan has been so charismatic and just crushing it all year. When he got up for Oppenheimer, it's not like he was bad, but it wasn't like the guy I've been seeing at the BAFTAs and all these other speeches.
I know.
Same thing with Robert Downey Jr. He has been on fire. Now, I still think he did great last night. He was fun and he was genuinely excited.
He's the most
excited.
Naturally charismatic person.
Yeah. He's so easy to like. He's so likable. But I just noticed everybody seemed a little lethargic last night. There was a little fatigue.
I just think infamously the Oscars is the end and people are tired. Yeah. I mean, when I was at ET, we would always be like, I hate to say it because the Oscars is the big one, but we'd be like, it's the hardest carpet to do because you get there and everybody's like, there's no more promoting left for them to be done. The votes are locked in. So they don't really want to do interviews because they're tired, they're burnt out, they're nervous. And like the interview doesn't really get them anything anymore because the campaigning is over, the votes are locked.
Right.
And they've been doing interviews and making speeches and getting dressed like all for months now. And people are tired. Yes, absolutely. Like you've also kind of, you know, if you're on a winning streak like Robert Downey Jr., you've probably made your best jokes. Like you're a little, what else am I going to say in this speech? So yeah, I think that the fatigue is very real.
I wish Christopher Nolan had mentioned Barbie.
You made that point last night. You're so right.
I just thought he had a moment to say something about Greta Gerwig. And even if he didn't mention Greta for not being nominated, just Barbenheimer, right? Just mention this phenomenon that he was a part of and his movie was a part of. And look, I get it. It was his moment. So he thanked his people and it was all self-indulgent, which I totally understand. He earned that. But I just thought, what a great moment to Margot Robbie sitting there, Greta Gerwig sitting there. Obviously, Oppenheimer, a rising tide definitely lifted that boat as well. Why not in that moment?
I thought you were so right. I thought it was a miss to not, like, to not speak to people at home.
Yeah.
And as like a lot of people pointed out, I mean, it turned out the person giving him that award last night, because it was the anniversary of, was it Schindler's List?
Yes.
Steven Spielberg. I mean, let's talk about that moment. Steven Spielberg giving Christopher Nolan his first Best Director Oscar. A lot of people were saying, wow, this is kind of a passing of the torch moment
that
in
is the
industry.
Past and the future.
And I thought Christopher Nolan in that moment had an opportunity to say something about like just to the people at home, like, thank you for coming to see this movie, for coming back to the theaters, for having, you know, for making this movie a huge box office hit. And like, and yeah, and to acknowledge Barbenheimer and like the fun and joy of the movies. He said something like, we're 100 years into this business, who knows where it'll go from here. But I wanted something like a bit happier and like positive and hopeful. And I agree. It would have been a cool thing to do because really the gals from Barbie, they were the ones who like, remember they went and bought tickets to Oppenheimer. Like they sort of started the let's support each other thing. And it would have been nice for him to put a button on that in a full circle way.
Before we wrap this up, any significant misses, you know, everyone goes back in history. It's like, okay, here's misses, here's what ifs. As I look at the categories last night, do you think there were any significant misses?
I would have liked Lily Gladstone to have won. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen either movie, but I just, you know, for a Native American woman to finally win, especially after the Academy's history, like it was really beautiful to see that song from Killers of the Flower Moon performed.
And overall, the movie was pretty ignored as far as winning last night. It didn't do much.
That movie and Maestro really didn't win anything nominations wise.
Poor Bradley Cooper, man. He really tried to give it up in the press and tried to earn this. And all he did was get baked by taking his mom to another award show.
So I thought, you know, I thought that was a miss. What about you?
I liked Oppenheimer. Again, I think the biggest miss was just in Greta Gerwig not being nominated. Would she have won? I think still Christopher Nolan, that was such an epic movie and it was so brilliant. You can't argue with Oppenheimer and Christopher Nolan. I just wish Greta Gerwig had gotten that recognition. She definitely should have. And I think Margot Robbie should have been nominated as well. And, you know, I think Emma Stone is a very popular champion. I think she's a wonderful star to have up and great, you know, I think critically acclaimed performance.
Yeah.
Supporting actor, supporting actress.
Robert Downey Jr. and Dave Vine. She was amazing.
I mean, I think
Robert Downey Jr. was maybe the easiest layup for all of us. We all wanted it. We all needed it. And the Academy actually gave it to us. So you know what? Kudos to the Academy for just giving us what we wanted for once.
Yeah.
Like, we all wanted to see Robert Downey Jr. on stage.
I think we all, right. Greta not being nominated was the miss. Everybody kind of felt like this was Christopher Nolan getting a bit of a career Oscar moment. And so it was going to be his.
And Cillian Murphy, very deserving as well. It could have gone to a couple of different directions.
I think some people thought Paul Giamatti was going to get the career Oscar for The Holdovers because he got missed in Sideways. And his speech would have been great. But no one's complaining about Cillian Murphy.
Right.
A couple other little wins. I did like seeing the writer for American Fiction, Cord Jefferson. What a great Hollywood story. Like, he was a TV writer. This is like the first feature film he's written. And I thought he made such a good point. He got up there and said, look, he kind of spoke to the industry and said, you know, just so everybody knows, like, the next Scorsese's out there, the next whoever's out there, instead of making one $200 million movie, because movies have gotten so expensive, it is crazy to me. Like, if you think about it, I mean, anyone but you got some attention this year because it only costs like $20 million to make. Like, movies didn't used to cost this much.
That's normal. That was normal.
Yes, they're so expensive now. And he said, instead of making one $200 million movie, make 10, $20 million movies, and you might be surprised how it goes, because this was a little movie that became nominated at the Oscars. And I loved that he said that, and it was such a good point. So that was a nice little moment, and I hope people listen to him. And then I also loved, like, kind of speaking like Ryan Gosling, I'm not taking himself too seriously, the moment where Kate McKinnon and America Ferrera presented Best Documentary, and they just did a silly bit about Kate McKinnon thinking that Jurassic Park movies were documentaries, and then cut to Steven Spielberg in the audience. And Kate McKinnon made a joke where she said, like, go watch it because it's funny, but she ultimately made a joke of, wait, but to whom have I been sending my tasteful nudes? And they cut to Steven Spielberg and he pointed at himself. And I just thought, I love this man for, like, just have fun. You know, that's what it's about. The movies are supposed to be about fun, entertainment, yes, connection, yes, statement making, but like a little fun too.
And I loved, the audience was set perfectly. And this is silly, but the director, whoever directed last night, had everybody staged perfectly. You had Scorsese, Spielberg, and Christopher Nolan all lined up. When you took a shot of one, you saw three geniuses, three legends. When you went over to Margot Robbie, who was sitting behind, but you know, there was Emily Blunt, and there was Ryan Gosling. So up front was Robert Downey Jr. And then you saw Bradley Cooper.
They stacked the seats.
They stacked the seats well, and they were there, and maybe it was lit better, but I felt like I saw stars last night when we went to the audience shots, and that was well done.
It wasn't the Golden Globes where you were like, or was it I remember thinking, actually,
the Globes was a disaster of a set.
Well, both the Globes and the Emmys, the Globes was like the tightest they've ever packed that room this year with the tables. No one could walk around them. And then at the Emmys, the audience kept being empty. Like, I was like, where is everyone? So you're right. The Oscars, maybe they took note. They stacked that room. There was never an empty seat, and all the stars were together. I really thought, maybe, I don't know if they had a new director this year or a new, but like just production wise, it was very well done.
It felt fresh. It felt good. It felt good because we went back to the movies this year, and then we celebrated movies we saw. So overall, I give it high marks. Again, when the ratings come out today, my guess is they're going to be up 10 to 20% as they should be, because the movies were up 10 to 20%.
Well, and because the big move, Barbie and Oppenheimer, I mean, truly, I think it's Barbenheimer came to a close at the Oscars last night. I'll say it again. Oppenheimer was the first box office hit in 20 years to win Best Picture. Academy, take note. If the ratings are up, people want to watch a show about the movies they went to see.
We end this episode with a question.
Ooh.
Who won the night?
Who won the night? Oh, I wish you'd prepped me for this.
I don't know,
if you have
I know.
An answer, go. And
maybe
then I'll
who
think
won
about
award
it.
Season? Obviously, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, but I'm going to go bizarrely. I think Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
I know he's a mega star, but he's shown another side of himself. And I think he's endeared himself to not only industry, but also to us, the fans and the viewers, as just a real guy and a funny guy that'll poke fun at himself. And I think Ryan Gosling won.
It was a big career booster moment for him, this whole thing. Yeah. I mean, I don't, by the way, a lot of people were like, where's his wife, Eva Mendez?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Did you see the tweet she sent out immediately?
I know.
It was great about get home and put the kids to bed.
Well, okay. So did you think it was great?
Well, I thought it was cute that she said that. It reminded me of, God, what was the last, when Ryan Reynolds was on and Blake Lively,
yes,
tweeted at him about when he was, off doing his thing. And I think thought that was cute.
She's getting a lot of backlash for it because people are like, first of all, a lot of people are saying she's trying to do Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, but not succeeding. Oh. And then a lot of people are like, well, why weren't you just there? I don't know. They've never been a couple to, even though they met on a movie set, they've never been a couple to do red carpets together. I think she's just pulled back and that's her personal choice. I will admit, maybe selfishly, I would have liked to see her there last night. I don't know how often your partner performs at the Oscars, but it would have... I would have gone. I would have. I felt like it would have been cool to see her there last night, and I don't know why she wasn't.
I know. I guess in the industry, I also see this as a work night, and especially for Ryan, you're not going to be hanging with him. It's not going to, So I guess I give her a little grace. I know that she's home watching the kids or whatever. So I don't know. Yeah, I could see it both ways, but it didn't bother me. I didn't think, thank you, by the way. If I ever perform at the Oscars, you'll be there.
I'll be there.
and vice versa, by the way.
So you think Ryan Gosling won the night?
Yeah, I think Ryan Gosling wins the night, even though he didn't win an Oscar.
No, he didn't.
But I still think he won the night.
You know what? I'm going to say I think movies won the night. Yeah. I think that for the first time in a while, like I've said.
Yeah. The industry actually won.
The movies were actually... memorable from the night before tonight, the last 10 years, I can't really name that many of the best picture winners, I will remember the year Oppenheimer won and that Barbie was up for a lot. And I'll remember Barbenheimer. And I hope that next year the Oscars do the same.
With a new host, John Mulaney is hosting. Thank you for tuning in. And hopefully you watch the Oscars. And if not, well, I think we just gave you a solid recap. We will talk to you again next time because we have a lot more to talk about.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the most dramatic pod ever. And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.